Willkommen bei der Frosta Fischstäbchen-Hotline. Für Knusprigkeit wählen Sie die 1. Für glückliche Kinder wählen Sie die 1. Für den Testsieger bei Stiftung Warentest wählen Sie auch die Nummer 1. Frosta Fischstäbchen. Wie immer nach dem Frosta Reinheitsgebot. Gibt's im Supermarkt.
Frosta ist für alle da.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne.
A lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name's Chris Lambert.
I sounded very scholarly on that one, didn't I?
You really did. It was surprising for you.
It's a new approach I'm going for. My name is Travis Bean, and today on NPR, we're going to be talking about Kanye West and his recent Twitter comments.
Oh, man. Dropping the NPR in there is already a loaded way of introducing it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm part of the left, so I have all kinds of canceling comments to make about Kanye.
You gave away the game already, Travis.
No, it's not going to be that. Trust me, I would never.
No. Well,
Well, I would never work for NPR is what I'm trying to say.
Somebody working with NPR that's like a big fan of the show just takes a contract that they had written for you and puts it in a shredder.
I've spent enough time in the journalism publishing industry that I don't need to go back.
Yeah, that's true. That's been a big part. It's been a big part of your career.
And I don't really have a radio voice. I have more of a podcast voice.
Speaking of big parts of careers.
Good transition.
So today we were going to release our first episode of the My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy season. A season that we're going to release last year, and then Ye started in with the Donda album, which was a much better reason to have a podcast season kind of sideswiped by Ye. And we kind of transitioned from recording My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy episodes to Donda coverage and then a Donda season. But this last week was one of the most fraught weeks of
one way to put it.
Yeah, Ye's career, I guess. Yeah, career. Which started off on Monday with his Yeezy Season 9 fashion show, which was, I think, for fans, like, going to be this triumphant thing. Everybody was kind of in good spirits about it. It seemed like the media was in good spirits about it. And Ye woke up and chose
another war.
Yeah, he wore his White Lives Matter shirts, the infamous villainous White Lives Matter shirts, and that set off a whole like chain reaction of responses from everybody, and he went on the defensive against that, and it culminated with some Twitter posts, because he got kicked off of Instagram. Where he had like a harmless Twitter post about like running for president in 2024, and everybody's like, "Hey, welcome back to Twitter," and followed that up with the "I'm kind of sleepy."
That was a great way to start that tweet.
Yeah, it was such like a, you know, a vulnerable, endearing way of just being like, "I'm a little sleepy right
now."
Even
Kanye gets sleepy,
right? Like, we can sing you a lullaby. What do you need? And then he said that he's going DEFCON 3 rather than DEFCON 3, which is like military talk for like be on the defensive, be on the alert. Mm-hmm. Like there's a something's happening. We have to go DEFCON 4. That's how serious
I've
it
played
is.
Call of Duty.
Yeah, you know, you get it.
I've never played and, Call of Duty.
Oh, what? How could you...
Not once in my life.
An audience, you know, of millions and billions.
You know what? I think actually back in the day when Best Buy would have like video games out, you know, I feel like that's not a thing anymore. But I probably play Call of Duty there.
I feel like you might get obsessive over like online multiplayer Call of Duty.
I don't really like first-person shooters that much. Although I was quite skilled at GoldenEye back in the day, and Time Splitters too. So,
and GoldenEye, everybody knows the best part was the multiplayer, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So just imagine multiplayer GoldenEye, but better graphics.
No, I like the shitty ones.
Actually, that makes so much sense to me.
I like that 2D image of Jaws.
Yeah. I feel like if somebody was like, I don't like this game because it smacks you in the face, you'd be like, I love the game because it smacks me in the face.
I love how much it hurts.
Well, speaking of how much it hurts, Ye followed up going DEFCON 3 with some spaces. You know, some people are saying the spaces are important.
Yeah, well, they're really reading into that.
In all caps on Jewish people. And I feel like since I'm Jewish, I can laugh at it, right? Like, that's how
more than laugh at it.
That's how we like to deal with conflict, make jokes about it.
Pain.
Yeah, you've seen Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's just how Larry David copes with the world. Seinfeld, right?
I've never seen Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Wait, you've never seen
Call of Duty, Curb Your Enthusiasm, added to the list.
Never seen an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I've seen clips on YouTube and stuff, and I know I would love the show. I just don't really watch that much TV.
Yeah, that's been like a huge thing over the years with us. Like,
I love Seinfeld,
Travis, though. Watch more TV. It's just like HBO Seinfeld. It's just much more egregious in terms of like the things Larry David does. But I mean,
you're selling me.
You know, Jewish humor. It's a wonderful thing. Honed over thousands of years of awful things. But Ye said DEFCON 3 on Jewish people, which if you're being as critical as possible, you're reading it that he's going DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. And if you're being as forgiving as possible, you're putting a period there and saying that the on Jewish people, like some people are like, he's just saying it as like an introduction to the topic of Jewish people. I want to say. While others are saying that he's saying, I'm going DEFCON 3, like, on Jewish people the way that somebody would say, like, on God. Like, swearing by them.
I mean, the fact that we've spent this much time trying to figure out Kanye's tweet when we all can actually just agree it says one thing, like, you know.
Yeah. And then it, like, dives even further of him saying that he can't be anti-Semitic and gets into a whole other sub conversation and then calls out Jewish people for controlling things and the agenda and followed it up with a tweet on who do you think started cancel culture or created cancel culture, which also seemed very much aimed at Jewish people. Plus the Instagram post earlier in the day that got him kicked off of Instagram, where he was telling Diddy that like he's going to send a message to the Jewish people that sent Diddy to calm him down. And so there was just like a whole ecosystem of blaming Jewish people for things that are going on. And, you know, we decided to do this instead of putting out the first episode of the season.
Well, that was, I told Chris, like, Chris, we got to talk today. We did this yesterday. I was like, we have to talk about the upcoming season and like what we're going to do, because we can't just put out season 8 of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy 2 days after Kanye tweets this and just like never, like people would be so confused, like, ooh, new episode from Watching Their Throne, they're gonna what's this, like an episode, an overview of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, an album released 12 years ago that they recorded a month ago, you know. Like all everything about it, I was like, this like just seems strange. And like, Chris, I want to figure out like what we should do, but like I don't even know what we should do, because it's such a, like, I don't want to sit here talking about some reprehensible tweet Kanye sent out, like it is what it is. But we also just can't release a podcast where we just talk about music, even though that's all we really do, because people will be confused. So I guess now we're doing this. We're going to talk in circles for however long.
Well, it's like the reactions are so intense, and I understand.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Like, I understand. Like, I'm not happy. I know this has been like a very joking tone so far. I'm not happy with like the shirts. I'm not happy with the tweets. I'm not happy with really a lot of the way in which Ye's been talking to other people.
Hmm.
And kind of just the way he's been handling this last week.
Yeah.
In general. At the same time, we have dovetailed from just talking about albums to also covering Ye as kind of like in a scholarly way, the way that you cover a sports team, news, like a town. Like, we are content creators in like the world of Ye, and I still want to create content around it, like regardless of if I'm disagreeing or like unhappy about something, it still seems worth talking about to me. And not, you know, full podcast seasons about Ye's tweets and behavior, but we've had like people asking like, how can you keep like having a Twitter account, how can you keep having a podcast or a YouTube channel about this? And I guess because it's still like, to me, worth talking about, like the good and the bad.
I mean, totally. Kanye, it's funny. Like, there's nothing I enjoy about him tweeting that thing. And I'm totally with you. Like, a lot of his rhetoric and the way he's been speaking about people lately, it seems to go against so many things I believe in and work I've done in myself, like him talking about, you know, like robots and zombies and all this kind of like right wing talk that you hear a lot, that I've had people throw in my face before, who say that I'm just a sheeple because I think this one thing that they don't agree with. You know, I've always taken extreme offense to that, and I really take offense to it from somebody I admire so much, because I've done a lot of work in myself, you know, talking through stuff with my wife and my therapist and trying to not become that kind of person, like trying to have my own personality and my own worldview, and to just have that kind of stuff thrown in your face by somebody you care about and you're invested in, it makes it really tough. But I'm still with you, Chris. Like, the fact that I'm invested in him makes this even more worthwhile. Like, I don't really understand that attitude of like, just abandon Ye, just cancel him. I still believe in Kanye. Like, I think he can do work in himself, like anybody can do work in themselves. Like, I've done work on myself, like you've done work in yourself. Like, and I think despite like some terrible things that he's done, like, I mean, he's just the most fascinating figure in the sense that he just lays it all out there for everybody to see. Like, he's not scared of saying something that terrible in public, which maybe on some level, like, that's not good. But on another level, nobody is going to like have that kind of bravery, and he's done it for so long, then there's so much to put it into context within, that like, it's something we can come to understand. And when we understand it, we can understand something larger than Kanye and larger than ourselves about the world we live in, about this country, and like the way it drives people to act the way they do. Like, I think it's important to keep talking about Kanye and understand his tics and motions. And, you know, that's what this show was all about in the first place anyway. Like, we just wanted to talk about music, sure, but we're also like movie nerds and narrative nerds. And we want to show you how like Kanye built this story. And as we've gone through and talking about all the stories he's built in all of his albums, like, you learn more and more about him, and you see past the artist, you see the man, and this show becomes revealing of like the beauty of art and like everything you can learn from art. Like all of that stuff, like, we're going to keep doing that. Like, to me, that's way more important. And it would be lame if we just let some stupid tweet Kanye sent out defeat that. Like, it's too stupid to let it in because of that, you know?
Yeah. Cause it's like, you could go that route, like the gravity of it, like the platforming of it, which is a word that I never really heard until 2022. But then at the same time, like, people are going to keep talking about him whether like you want them to or not. Ye's become too much of a figure, and the influence, for better or for worse, and I still think like Ye overall means well, intends well. I think at his core, if you presented him with a situation that's like, is he going to do something to help people or hurt people, he would choose to help. I don't think he wants to upset people. I don't think he wants to come off that way. And then does.
Yeah.
But I still think that there's like a positive intentionality regardless of the damage that he causes. Mm. Almost like, you know, Clifford the Big Red Dog destroying things unintentionally just because he's so big. And you're just like, I know you didn't mean to sit on the house and break the roof.
Yeah, or RoboCop going haywire, you know?
Right. Of course. So I think people are going to continue to talk about Ye, and we have become...
Yeah, like, why not listen to us talk about Ye?
Yeah, some of the foremost scholars on Ye over the last 7 years, that we talked about his discography, like contents, like... We may have opinions that you don't like. We may not be like fully for him in a way that you want us to be, or fully against him in the way that you want us to be. But I think one of the things I've seen so many fans being like, how could fans, you know, turn on him in this time? And it's one of those things with Ye said himself that being a fan of him means that you're a fan of yourself.
Right.
And he's just the espresso to get you going. I think even if Kanye gets upset when people don't agree with him, the thing that any fan should take away from being a Kanye fan is that you need to stand up for whatever you're feeling, whatever you believe in. And if that means disagreeing with Kanye, then so be it. Like, that's actually more in line with being a fan of him than agreeing with everything that he says.
Yeah.
Because if you feel differently and you're agreeing just because he said it, what are you doing? Like, Ye himself even talked about like the dangers of monolithic thought. And yes, right, he was saying that for his own benefit and justifying his own going against the grain, but it still applies to like being a fan of something means that you should still not have to agree with everything that everybody else does, or even the person themselves agrees with. Like, you can have your own opinions and views. And I feel very strongly about that now.
Yeah.
Just as much as I did in like 2020 and 2018 and 2016, when there are other Ye controversies going on, that I didn't necessarily agree with what he was saying, how he was doing it. But continuing to kind of talk about it, scholarize it, and put it into context for other people, I think is important.
Totally.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer günstig und natürlich mit dem Aldi-Tiefpreisversprechen. Zum Beispiel knackiges Gemüse, saftiges Obst, frische Backwaren. Kurz gesagt, mehr Frische für alle. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote zum Tiefpreis in deiner Aldi-Nordfiliale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
And you're getting into an interesting thread as well. And again, this is something you and I can really speak to, is just how this informs stan culture in general, and what it's become. Like, you and I, like, we're at the forefront of it. Like, we spend so much time talking about Kanye West. It should be like, you know, it should be a crime. Like, we should be, it's ridiculous how much time we spend talking and thinking about this guy. But and there's so many fans out there, like the energy you see when we went to his like listening parties and stuff, like, people are there for Kanye. They love Kanye. They've been fans their whole lives. Like, he means so much to them. So when this kind of stuff happens, like, it causes some crazy dramatic internalizing to happen. Like, it forces an entire fan base to like reckon with it and look inward and understand, and then like people split off and this weird ecosystem occurs. And this year, I feel like more than any year, even 2020 has been kind of like, for me anyway, has been the most revealing and Like, it's just really forced me to, like, think about, like, what my Kanye fandom means, like, in terms of, like, myself and, like, who I am. You know, this year I had my first kid. I had a daughter. Like, things just, like, I don't know how to explain how this relates to that, but, like, it totally does. Like, it totally reoriented my brain and the way I look at my life and the way I approach my career. And seeing Kanye go through the motions he has in the past, you know, years, it's been tough and it's hard to process. And I think all the way back to the beginning when the Genius movie came out. And to me, that was kind of like that, almost looking back at it, that was like it was a prescient movie, like a sign of things to come. Like, yeah, Kanye's done some crazy stuff. But like this year in particular, especially this new tweet he sent, like that stuff is really, really, really hard for me to understand and look at more objectively and give him the benefit of the doubt. And that movie really looks at like what it's like to have a distance perspective of Kanye and watch somebody from afar really struggling. Like, as much as I don't like Kanye said at that tweet, like, it just leads me to believe like he's got a lot of work to do and there are some things going on in his life that we just don't understand, and he's probably in a dark period that he needs to work through. And again, that makes what you and I do so important. Like, we are this extreme insight into Kanye stand-up. Like, we have such a clear view of, like, the base. Like, Chris, you're talking to all these weirdos on Twitter every day. like, I do a video where I rank every single Kanye song, and I watch these nut jobs interact with each other. And like you see them all, like it's so much fun, like it's so inspiring, like we're seeing all of these people like react to Kanye, and like it feels like I almost feel like it's just our duty as like kind of the heads at the forefront of this entire weird group to like keep talking about it and like forcing ourselves to keep reflecting on the music. Because when we go through this season of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, the stuff Kanye's done this year is going to make us look at certain songs differently and certain lines differently. Like, we're going to always find new stuff in Kanye's music, and we're going to keep evaluating it and understanding it. They, you know, that's, we have to keep doing it. It's like our obligation.
Right. I'm just thinking of all the jokes that have come out over the last like week and thinking like, how appropriate is one here or not here?
Yeah.
Like, you know, are people going to let me do Jewish humor, or are they going to be like, hey, this is a serious topic, don't make that joke? It's like, well, you know, Ye just added in somebody to the list of monsters on Monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think as like the professorial nut jobs in this whole collective, there is something like to look at, something to be said. And yeah, I think the humanity too also like very easily goes out the window with Ye. And I know people are quick to jump to like bipolar, mental health. There was just a Page Six story that came out today saying that Ye hasn't been sleeping a lot, and friends are concerned that this is an episode and what have you. But I think one of the things that doesn't get talked about a lot is grief. Mm-hmm. And there was something that jumped out to me in the text messages that Ye had with Tremaine Emery, where with Diddy earlier in the day, Ye was posting like just like straight up like flexing on Diddy and trying to antagonize Diddy. But then when he was texting with Tremaine Emery, it started that way. He open it up with like, nice to hear from you, you bitch.
Yeah,
like,
you bitch.
Something like,
wow.
Just,
oh, you use profanity now.
Right? Like, it just so far away from the 2019 era, Jesus is King era. But by the end of those messages, Ye just starts talking very openly to Tremaine. And mentions at one point that he lost his wife, his mom, and his best friend. And I think that there's probably just like a lot going through his mind when it comes to like he loses his mom. And we talked about in terms of the discography, you can see the ways in 808s and My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy that he was kind of not in a good place. And that led to his relationship with Kim and really rebuilding a foundation with Kim. And you see that on Yeezus and the life of Pablo, like trying to settle into marriage and what it means on marriage. Even Ye gets at it. For him to then lose his family, it was already a lot for him to process in 2021. And we saw the way in which he was kind of coping with it after Virgil's death. It's like there was a lot that happened in the aftermath of Virgil's death that it still seems Ye's processing very strongly. And I think that there's probably, not to just go like, see, mental health, crazy. I think that's too simple of a thing to point to. I think that there's probably like a lot of confusion and grief that is taking its toll a lot lately.
Oh, yeah. I mean, shit. I guess we're getting personal. like, that stuff is really hard to recognize and speak about. Like, he's just talking about in this text there with Tremaine. And I guess I don't know Connie's life. I don't know if he's talking to more people. But me personally, I didn't realize that I was depressed for a long time until this year. Like, it took me talking through stuff and like looking back at my life and realizing like the way I had maneuvered and thought about things and gone about things. Like, I coped in so many ways and that I'm not proud of and that I don't look back fondly on. And, you know, I was depressed. I was going through so much stuff I didn't even know I was going through. Like, I can only imagine what it's like for Connie in this moment. You just get to a moment where, like, you have to face it. You have to talk to someone about it. I'm not saying he has to go on, like, medications or anything, but, like, some step has to be taken that I'm not sure someone like Kanye is really doing. He seems so busy and so ambitious, and he has a lot of people... I don't want to say yes men, but he has a lot of people in his camp like backing him. He has so many fans backing him and the way he acts and the things he says. I just think at some point, like, it's hard to describe. Like, if you've gone through depression, like, maybe you more know what it's like. But like, I just look at Kanye and I look at like everything you're talking about, like the grief and like the struggle. Like, you can just see it kind of happening, and like, you know that it goes somewhere bad, but you also can't do anything about it. Like, people can only help themselves. So on some level, you're just kind of sitting back and like hoping things get better.
Yeah, I know people that might be new to the show or longtime listeners probably know, like, I lost my dad when I was 20, my mom when I was 25, only child. All my cousins are like much older, much younger. So it's not like I had a very close like family unit or even like support structure. Really good friends, but we're also like off at college or, right, you know, settling into being married or moved away. So there was a lot of fallout from that. And a lot of stuff that I was going through then and 10 years later, like, talking to a trauma therapist now and really starting to get like some perspective on a lot of it. But I think when you're dealing with that grief, a lot of what causes you to, or depression, like, come to terms with it is when you're looking around you at your life and where your life is at and realizing like where you can go, both good and bad, and the costs of staying in a less than healthy state. But Ye has so much money and so much freedom, like financial freedom, that I wonder if there's really that opportunity to really settle into those emotions, because you can go do anything and distract yourself in all ways possible because you don't have limitations. So it just allows you to keep running from confronting that grief and working through that grief.
I mean, I feel like this all gets at, again, what we've been talking about and why I feel this obligation to keep talking about Kanye. He's the most fascinating man like I've ever seen. This story, like, this country right now is having a reckoning with mental health. And, like, I can't tell you how many boomers I've talked to that, like, scoff at the idea of talking to a therapist. It blows my mind, like, this idea that, like, taking care of your head is unforgivable and, like, stupid. Like, Kanye is this grand, gleaming, rich example of a man going through that problem. And the fact that he is so rich, weirdly, probably makes it a lot harder for him to deal with all this stuff than it would just a regular person. Like, yeah, you're totally right. Like, with all the money in the world, like, everything's going great. All the everything I do makes me money and gets me more influence and power. Like, he has no reason to change. And if he's able to do it, if he's able to actually go down this path and tend to his mental health, like, it'll be this example of someone who, like, did it on a grand level. Like, we've seen him do it over and over again with any social issue he talks about, when he talks about fame, when he talks about, like, you know, getting over the grief of his monolithic thought, like, getting over the grief of his mother, like, having a family, like, going from losing his mother, thinking he's going to be alone for the rest of his life, and, like, finding somebody and having get, like, all of this stuff that we all go through, he goes through on this, like, crazy big level and lays it out all for us to see in movies and albums, all over his social media, like, the way he carries himself and his brand. This is just another step in that, in my mind.
Yeah, it's like his story, for better or for worse, is going to be one for the history books. It's going to be something that people 100 years from now are still, like, talking about.
Yeah.
And it's nice to be able to be part of that conversation, shape that conversation. I know people won't always agree with everything that we say, but hopefully they can respect where we're coming from, why we're saying it, and, you know, be along for the ride the same as us.
Yep. I mean, shit, I don't know where this season's going to go. I don't know what Kanye's going to do by the end of it, so.
Yeah, but, and we still do view, like, the art is the art is the art, and what Ye is doing in the present impacts perception of that, but the art is still going to also be something people are listening to and talking about 100 years from now, I'm sure. So us, like, getting into the intricacies of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is still, to me, like, a very worthwhile endeavor for somebody that's, like, into narrative and the highest, like, quality of art possible. And Ye's discography, whether you like him or dislike him, is still some of the most prolific and high caliber art that's been produced so far in the 21st century.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, another season on this album is just another excuse to listen to it. And I can't wait to do that over and over and over.
Until the end of time.
Oh, man. Okay. Is that good? Did we do it?
I think so. I think people have probably listened. And anybody that is uncertain and still listening, you know, thank you. And anybody that was certain and decided to still listen, thank you.
And all the other people who don't know what's going on or what we're talking about, we don't either.
It's just a default for us.
Trying our best.
Yeah. To fake it till you make it.
Absolutely.
Well, then we'll be back with a whole podcast season.
Yep. We'll just be talking about the album next time. We won't be talking about any of this stuff.
No, because we already talked about it.
Yeah. And we recorded that episode a month ago.
Yeah. So keep that in mind.
But until you keep it in mind, why don't you stay wavy?
And, you know, keep it loopy. And they ask me, I tell them, raise your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol.